This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW. As a minister of the gospel and as a Christian, I know that the scope of Christianity is very vast. Nobody can claim to have mastered everything. Jesus said that it is that which is given unto you, which means if something is not given unto you, you can only learn it from afar. Or you can learn about it from afar, or you can speak about it from afar if it is not given to you. But that which is given unto you, you will know it close. It will be in your hand. You will have an understanding of it. You will have a total comprehension of it. Until something is given to you, you can only talk about it. You cannot have an intimate knowledge of it. Before I got married, I can only speak of marriage from afar. I remember when I used to teach Bible study, I would say to people that, how can a single person be teaching about marriage? What do you know? You can talk about it in theory. You can have in your head ideals about it. You can hope for the best and try to talk for maybe what you see your parents or your friends or cousins or uncles do. But you really don't know marriage until you are married. You can never know it until you are in it. Same thing with driving. Many of us, when I was young, before I began to drive, I used to, you put it in gear one, you press the clutch, you put it in gear two, you press the clutch, you put it in gear three, you press the clutch, you'll be in your head, you'll be driving, you'll be moving the car, you'll be doing all sorts. Until you begin to drive, you cannot say you know driving. You can just have a vague idea, or even very big ideas. But until you are behind the wheel and you're actually driving the car, that's when you say, okay, now I understand what driving is. The same thing with being a doctor or any profession you may choose. You can have ideas about the profession until you graduate, get a job in it, and begin to work it. You cannot really say that you know it. Now, that is the same principle that guides the knowledge of God. When God reveals himself to you, the aspect of him that is revealed to you is what you know in that season. Nobody can say he or she knows all of God. You can have a general knowledge. You can memorize the name of the Lord and be saying, oh, Jehovah Tzedekenu, Jehovah Sabaoth, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Elolam, Jehovah Adonai. You can say El Shaddai, Elohim. You can go from there, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lion of the Tribe of Judah. You can just power out the words. But you can never really know him except he is revealed to you. That is the truth. That was why Jesus Christ said, it is those who know their God who shall be strong and shall do exploits. How did Moses know God? Moses knew God not as Adonai, not as El Elyon, not as Nisi or Jireh. Moses knew God as the I am that I am. What does I am that I am mean? I am the one that makes you like I am. I am the one that makes you like I am. Why did God show Moses that dimension? God was going to make Moses God. God was going to make Moses God unto Pharaoh. And so God was giving him the power of Godship over Pharaoh. And God said, I'm going to make you like I am. I'm going to make you like I am. So in all the dimension of Moses' work and all the miracles he did in Egypt, he was essentially God unto Pharaoh. You see that that name was unique only to Moses. In fact, from that time, after they got into the wilderness and they began to establish the nation of Israel, you will notice that they never used that name again. Go ahead, take your Bible. The name was unique to Moses. To Moses. He said, when you get to Israel, tell them that your fathers knew me by other names. When they got into the wilderness, they began to call God by those other names. Because I am that I am was a name coded for Moses. And the revelation of God to him in that dimension was a revelation that made him as God. The revelation of Jesus to a believer is also the revelation of I am that I am. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. It is to make the believer as he is. But of course, not every believer understands I am that I am to mean the one that makes you as I am in divinity. Some people just know the name offhand. They just know the name in their head and they talk about it. Oh, I am that I am, the good I am, the good of I am that to the extent to which they just know it is just to call it. So they couldn't act as God because they do not know that they are gods. Whenever God decides to reveal his name to us or the dimension of his name, you begin to understand the unique wonders that God wants to do. The unique wonders that he wants to do. If God suddenly tells you, I am Yireh. If you are a very smart person, you will know that there is going to be a situation in which your provisions will be tested. And in that situation, if you heard him right, and you know what you heard, you know who you heard, there will be provision. For Jireh, or Jireh, as we call it, is a name that was given by Abraham to God as a result of the provision of that which was not to replace that which was asked for. God asked for Isaac, and God provided a substitute. And therefore Abraham said, on that mountain, it shall be provided, or later it was provided, which then gave us the name Jireh. So we added Jehovah to it. We say the Lord that provides, or the Lord shall provide. If God says, I am your righteousness, Tiskenu or Tedeskenu, expect that in that season, there will be tests. It is not for you to come to the altar and come and preach about the Lord your righteousness. No. Because if you preach about it 1 million times, you are just talking about it like somebody who is saying, who is single but giving married people advice. I used to laugh at my Catholic priest friends. Every time we talk, I will say, What is happening? You are giving couples advice. Are you married? They will say, come on, this thing is not so hard. God has, I will say, no matter how many theology you study, we know more than you how marriage works. And the same principle where God says, I am your righteousness. In that season, expect that there will be a test. There will be a kind of shaking that would want to shake your faith or challenge your faith. And God will then defend himself. He will say, hey, see, I am your defender. I am your righteous. I am the one that says you are righteous. It is me. I defend my word. Somebody will say, ah, you have done this. And God will say, shut your mouth. Remember what happened with Moses when Moses married the Ethiopian woman? Aha, that was the gotcha moment, the I am your righteousness moment. So Moses made a law. And Moses said in the law that no Jew should marry a foreigner. And he that brought the law was also bound by it. It was the one that brought it. It was the one that wrote it. He was bound by the law. Now, the law did not tell them not to take slaves. So, if you had beautiful strangers among your community, according to their law, a Jew could sleep with the slave. But a Jew could not extend the slave the right of marriage. A Jew could have children by the slave. But a Jew could not extend that slave the right of marriage. Marriage would give that slave legitimacy, raise up far above the level of a slave, and that means no other man can touch that slave. So if a Jew had a slave, for example, and the slave is a very fine girl, and he decides he wants to start sleeping with her, as long as she's a slave, somebody else can come and buy her off him, can say, oh, I like this slave, I want to buy her. Somebody else can come and say, oh, the slave was rude to me, or the slave should come out. And then Moses saw this very beautiful girl. Now, I'm talking about Moses. I'm talking about God and Moses and what relationships, how they work. So Moses saw this very beautiful damsel. But she was a black, fine girl. She wasn't even closely resembling them. But she was a beautiful girl. Moses knew that if he does not give her marital status, other men may want to have her, or claim her, or buy her, or give her a headache over her. And Moses did not want to share. See, he didn't want to share this girl. So Moses then went ahead and married her, which was not only an affront against the law he made, it was a total disregard for the norms of the Jewish society and their way and custom. Solomon wanted to marry Queen of Sheba. They stood against it. He was king. They didn't allow him. Solomon wanted to marry her, wanted to make her legitimate. The Jewish council of elders said never. But Moses just went ahead and married her. Just married this black girl. Everybody got angry. All the Sanhedrins he chose. All the he chose the Sanhedrins, his own sister, his own brother. Everybody got angry. But Moses was not listening to them. Moses was doing what he liked. He was just doing honeymoon with the girl. He just stayed in his tent, eating and drinking, enjoying the beauty of the girl. Just enjoying the girl. He didn't listen to anybody. They were saying everything, saying everything. Eventually, some of them said, let us go and comfort him. Let us go and confront him. What does he mean? Now, these people that are confronting Moses were anointed. Like, anointed, oh. They were incense-carrying priests. who also had walked in certain dimensions of spirituality with Moses. They were part of the team that, in the book of Exodus, sat and ate with God, and nothing happened to them. So they were not few. The spirit of Moses was taken from him and distributed among the Sanhedrins. They were part of those who received the spirit of Moses. So these people were not unbelievers. But Moses had done something, and somebody's got to call him to order. I think everybody can understand that. Now, Moses didn't have to offer a defense. God came and God said, "All of you, sit down, all of you. See, some of you here, once in a while, if I want to make you feel good, I will give you maybe one dream. There are some of you here, if I want to make you feel special, maybe I'll show you a vision. There are some of you here, if I want to make you feel like you are contributing something to the community, I can give you a word of knowledge." None of you actually has any intimate relationship with me like that. But you see that Moses, I speak to him mouth to mouth. For that reason, he is untouchable. I am his righteousness. That was Jehovah Tedeschem. A man who was guilty, but was declared innocent by God simply because. Because God can. Now, that is the dimension of that spirit. When you see that spirit, when I invoke that spirit, when I see somebody has a court case and he was guilty, and the person has come to God praying and doing all those things, and I turn to God and I begin to pray along with the person, and suddenly the Lord brings to me a consciousness of Jehovah Tedeschem. I just tell the person, when you go to court, they will just declare you innocent, be going. Say, "Ah, but I will go how?" I say, "Huh? God says it's your righteousness. So it would help you. Don't worry." And all the time, either it is, in fact, there was a young man that was facing EFCC panel, and it was so sure they were going to sack him and take him to jail. It was so sure. I think I wrote a story about 2 years ago. He was battling with depression, made a lot of nonsense decisions. He didn't steal money, but he opened the back door for somebody who stole a lot of money from the bank. It was the one from where they found the breach. Through whom they found the breach. And he told me that he wasn't in his senses. He said, as at when the when that person said the person has resigned from their bank, used to be a part of his team. Then the person had resigned and he knew the person had resigned. Then the person just called him and said, "Oh, can you send me the code, this code, what?" He said he knew the person had resigned. He knew the code was not meant for that person. And yet he forwarded it to the person. Then the person robbed the bank. And when the people heard and there was a lot of noise and they got the FC to the matter, they traced it and they traced it to him. He was guilty. And he read that to me on Twitter and he said, "But I mean, I'm dead. I didn't know what came over me. I couldn't process it. I couldn't process it. I knew I had resigned. I knew I had resigned. I just couldn't process it. Why would I do that? But I mean, God, please." And they had already nailed him. And the Lord said to just tell him, "I am Jehovah Tedeschem. I am his righteousness." On the day of his panel, the FCC came to the office. The people from the bank sat. They told him to sit outside. They wanted to decide his punishment. They wanted to decide his punishment. It sounded like that. He was looking at them. And they were discussing him, and somebody just picked another topic. And they discussed that matter, discussed that matter, discussed that matter, and they forgot all about him. I mean, he sat down for 5 hours. They forgot, and he was carrying me along. He was sending me a message. "Ah, it's been 1 hour, but I mean, God, they've not come out. Hey, I'm apprehensive. I'll tell him, relax. It's been another 1 hour, but I mean, God, they've not come out. I said, relax. But I mean, guys, it's already 2 o'clock. I feel like running away." He wrote to me, he said, Nobody is looking at me. Maybe I should just go through the back door and run away now. But should I run away? I said, no, sit down there. Sit down there. Don't run. Sit down. And they finished the meeting. All of them came out. And his direct boss came out and said, oh, you are still here? The matter has been sorted. Come and resume on Monday. Hey, sorry. And they moved on like they were talking about something else. And the matter was dead till today. Till today. That was the end of the matter. Totally dead. Why? Because God said, I'm his righteousness. It's as simple as that. The name of God, when invoked, it is just, it's not a mental thing that you just put in your head and say, his name is Jehovah Tedeschkenu. No. It is a manifestation of who he is. When you experience it, you yourself will begin to say, oh my God. Just like, imagine the position that Abraham was when he took his son and he laid him down and he tied his feet. He put him on the firewood and then he was going to cut his throat. Imagine how tense that situation is. And then God showed up like that. See the kind of song that came out of his mouth. It's a new song that brought forth a new name. It was like, my God, Jireh. That same week, that same experience. You must experience the dimension of the name for the name to actually mean something to you. You can memorize other people's experiences all you want. That's not bad. When you experience God in some dimensions, you even call him a name that's not in the Bible. Like God will do something for you. When you reason it, you will be saying, ah, you are Godidi, Godidi, you are Godidi, Godidi, you are Godidi, bang, 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 bang. You'll just be saying things. Why? Because of what happened and how profound it is, and how it became so difficult for you to express it, and then you are just going to canonize that moment. Canonize it. You are going to give that moment a name, and you are going to give God a name in the dimension in which you experienced him. And that name will be so real to you that when you share the story 10 million times over, people who hear the mention of that name, they will recognize why you came up with that name. This is why all over the nations, people give God names. King of the universe, Adonai, and all that, according to the dimension of the revelation of God to them. When you face a huge battle and there is no way out, maybe a sickness, maybe a terminal illness, and they told you you have, I remember one sister told me, she came to me and she said, they said I have 3 months to live. And I said, okay, lift up your 2 hands, let's pray. And as we were praying, God said, let her lift up her head and breathe into her nostrils. So I obeyed God. I said, lift up your heads, I. And then, and she fell under the anointing. They brought her back up. I did it again, second time. Brought her back up. I did it again, third time. And after that, the Lord said I should tell her that she should be going home. So I said, okay, you can leave now. 3 years after that, she was still alive. You know the name she began to call. To call God, breath of life. Every time she wants to write to me, she will say, God, my breath of life. God, my breath of life. Why? She experienced the breath of life. And she will write, this one happened to me. The whatever began to disappear. This one began to disappear. This one is back to normal. This one is back to this. This one is back to this. And by the end of 6 months, she was totally out of cancer. And now she had successfully carried the baby, delivered the baby. She had gotten married after that. And she was always saying, hey, why? Breath of life, the dimension she experienced. you will experience certain dimensions of God for yourself and your testimony in the coming days. That's why I am sharing this, dimensions of God that will be notable and palpable, that will be uniquely coded to you. But pay attention. A lot of people, especially from my part of the world, they usually don't see God when God is creative or proactive. I'm talking about Christians, of born of the Holy Ghost, full of life. They usually don't see God when God is creative or proactive. They usually see God when they are in trouble and God saves them. So the dimension of God that many Africans know is always the reactive or the reactionary dimension, where something has happened and God has to defend them, God has to fight for them, God delivered them. That they will say, God. They usually don't see God in the when things are good for them and God is making it better. They don't see God. Sometimes they even assume that they are the ones that are making it better. They even assume so, that things were so good for me. I know I did that. I plotted that graph. I saw that man. I said, I'm going to do business with this man. Now I made it, or I did it, or I did it, and they'll be talking about it as if it is them. And therefore, they forget to capture God or that experience in the frame of God manifesting himself to them in a positive, proactive dimension. And therefore, they always it is quick for them to talk about God as somebody who rescues them from trouble, rather than to talk about God as a way maker, as the inventor, as the one that gave them knowledge of a certain thing that nobody knew before. And God is also God in those dimensions. So open your spirit, open your heart to the dimensions of God that will be coming to you. Open your spirit, open your heart. Be willing to experience God in the dimensions that His presence would release to you. It would help your testimony. It will strengthen your faith. Not only that, it also give you the power, the residual knowledge and the power to invoke that God, to bring that God out whenever you find yourself in need of him. For Moses, every time he had trouble in Egypt, he invoked the I am, and he behaved as God because he had experienced God. For Abraham, when Lot was captured and he had to go fight the kings, he brought out Jireh all over again. The Bible said Abraham multiplied himself. He was 312 men. He and his people are 312, but they were able to destroy and capture five nations, five kings, because it seemed as if they were more than they really were. Why? Because he was walking in the dimension of Jireh, the one who provides, so he could multiply things easily. When you understand the dimension of God, which he reveals to you, it is easy for you to bring that dimension to bear when you are dealing with certain issues. I'm bringing to the consciousness of this today because this is the instruction the Lord gave me. He said, I'll be revealing myself to my church. And I will not reveal myself as just everybody see God as the same way. No, I'm revealing myself to them intimately, individually, in dimensions of the spirit, in order to deepen their work and fellowship with me. I believe I've delivered the message. Father, I give you glory for your church. Thank you, because in this season we are ready. You have prepared us to receive your fullness and to bask in it and to enjoy the best of you that our work and our life may show forth. Thank you for your glory, for your light, for your grace and power that is at work in us. We celebrate the Holy Spirit that is living in us. We celebrate the consciousness of Christ that we have and the place you have brought us, which is the light. Thank you for all you are doing for us. We bless your holy name, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the blessing of the Lord shout glory.
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 Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.